Welcome to the latest edition of Wax Ecstatic. I'm your host, Matt Salmon. Thanks for tuning in as we continue to just rummage through this monster box of baseball cards from the 1980s, bringing up some good childhood memories and some interesting stories about the players that we pull. Now, today we're pulling from the stack of 1982 Topps baseball that I have in here. An interesting player. He's got a great story behind him, not only as a player, but in his post-playing career. Roy Smalley of the Minnesota Twins, card number 767 of the 82 set. Now, we'll talk about the 82 set in just a moment, and we'll also bring you a few comments from some of our listeners over the past couple of days. They made their comments on our Twitter feed that is at Wax and Gum Stains. That's right. If you're a collector, you know what Wax and Gum Stains are all about. At Wax and Gum Stains on Twitter. We'll do that in a moment. But first, I want to pick up where we left off with 82 Donruss. There's one part of the 1982 Donruss set I completely forgot to mention in our last podcast. So I apologize. Got to backtrack just for a couple minutes here. The 82 Donruss set was the first set featuring the puzzle pieces. That's right, Donruss, because they couldn't package gum in their baseball cards like Topps could. Well, they had to put something in there, some little extra incentive to collect the cards. We mentioned how Fleer in 1982 started putting in the team logo stickers. Well, Donruss decided to put in puzzle pieces. And if you remember, you had a card size clump of three puzzle pieces, and if you collected all the puzzle pieces, you were able to put together an entire puzzle set that was about 8.5 by 11 inches. It actually fit rather nicely inside a plastic sleeve like you would put a book report in, and you could actually put that in the same three-ring binder as your baseball cards. Now, in terms of a wow factor, puzzle pieces have no wow factor at all. In fact, it kind of has the wow factor of the manager card, which, as you know by now, I'm not a very big fan of. So initially, when you're opening up a pack of Donruss cards and you see that piece of card that has the three puzzle pieces within it, it always kind of ended up in a stack somewhere. Well, I'll be honest with you. I did, for a couple of sets, actually collect the puzzle pieces and put the puzzle together. And it was really when I was voraciously collecting cards, and I would buy boxes at a time. So I think it was 89, 90, and 91 Donruss. I would collect the puzzle pieces because, you know, you rip through 36 packs of cards, you have 36 puzzle pieces. Chances are you had the complete puzzle put together, or you had enough pieces to put the complete puzzle together. So if I recall correctly, I think Warren Spahn was 89 Donruss, Carl Yastrzemski was 90, and then Willie Stargell was 91. But Willie Stargell, I'm actually still missing a piece, the lower right corner. I never, despite the fact that I bought, I think, two complete boxes of 91 Donruss back then, never had the complete puzzle piece there. So it's still missing. And I think Donruss probably did that on purpose. You know, some baseball card sets way back in the day, they used to have, numbers that were missing from the set so that you would buy pack after pack after pack after pack if you're trying to complete the set, and you couldn't really truly complete the set because, card number 322 didn't exist. I think Donruss did that. They wanted the puzzle collectors to keep buying pack after pack after pack in 1991, and they couldn't complete the puzzle. So there you go. One last tidbit about the 82 Donruss set, and that was the first year of the puzzle pieces. Again, when you pulled them out of the pack, you weren't necessarily excited, but if you had a box that you were ripping through, or as I mentioned, you just kind of stack these puzzle pieces up. Well, after a while, you probably had enough to put the puzzle together. And I will say they were actually very nice works of art when you put them together. But it certainly wasn't something that you were looking forward to when you ripped open a brand new pack of baseball cards. All right, so enough about 82 Donruss. Let's go to the topic of today, and that's 82 Topps. It's the final set from the 1982 baseball season that we're looking at. And everyone pretty much agrees the 82 Fleer set was an absolute bomb. It was just an ugly set. The 82 Donruss set, I felt, was the best of the three sets that were offered that year. And you can listen to our previous podcast if you want to find out why. And 82 Topps came along, and it was good, but not great, in my opinion. So I looked at the opinions of those who were sharing their messages at our Twitter feed at Wax and Gum Stains. And I asked the question straight up. I said, is 82 Donruss the best set of 1982? And CLM Design comes right out and says yes. So I've got a vote going my direction there. Thank you, CLM Design, for listening and for putting in your two cents there. Now, there's a little bit of a feeling that perhaps 82 Tops was better than Donruss. And as I mentioned, everyone thinks that Fleer is absolutely terrible. David Armour, who we've had his comments before on this program, said that the 82 Fleer is the worst set ever. However, the 82 Tops design is one of my favorites. And then T.S. Munson chimes in, again, talking about Fleer, absolutely heinous set, blurry, out-of-focus pictures, boring design. 82 Tops also had poor photos this year. So I thank you for your comments. And it actually follows the line. I've looked around at other people's comments about 82 Tops, very similar to 81 Tops. I said in our podcast about 81 Tops, you either like it or you don't. There's really no middle ground. Some people thought it was boring. I actually liked it. Again, you can listen to our 81 Tops podcast to find out why. 82 Tops is about the same. You either really like it or it's meh. I'm in the meh boat. And here's why. First of all you have to do is take a look at our 82 Tops card pull, again, number 767, pictured in our Twitter stream and on the SoundCloud page here, Roy Smalley. You look at the front of the card, and I will give you this. It's a simple, clean design, but it's very confusing. First of all, as T.S. Munson brought up, some very dark pictures. Now, this picture of Roy Smalley is not dark. In fact, it's actually a decent picture. This is actually one of the better pictures. There were a lot of dark pictures in the 82 Tops set. I'm not exactly sure why, but that was just the case that year. Now, also, if you look at the front of the design, the 82 Tops set is memorable because of the, what I like to call, hockey sticks that are going down the left side and curve inward in the bottom left-hand corner. And you'll see that the hockey sticks, the top hockey stick is plain, and then the bottom hockey stick has the position of the player. Next to the hockey sticks, you have the player's team and his name, and then on top of the picture, an autograph facsimile. So the front of the card is rather boring. That's the best way I can put it. And I think, too, if you look in context, the sets that Topps would produce in 83, 84, 85, and like I said, I was a fan of 81. When you look at the sets around the 82 set, it's boring. 82 is it's not that exciting. On top of the blurry or the dark photos that Topps used that year. Now, really, what I think is the downside to the 82 Topps set is the backside of the card. And all you have to do is look at Roy Smalley's card here, as you have your typical rundown of career numbers of Roy Smalley's career. You've got his statistics, birth date, height, weight, town he was born in. At the very top, and again, Topps would do this with players who didn't have, let's say, a 20-year career. If there was room for notes, they would do that. And what's interesting here is Roy Smalley, as we'll find out, had some very interesting things in his career, in fact, even early in his career. Yet, in this example, Topps decided to put a cartoon factoid about Willie Randolph. So you're talking about a second baseman for the Yankees, never mind the shortstop for the Twins. And then you've got Ken Forsch. And it's a little trivia note from the 1979 season. So you're not only talking about players who aren't featured on the front of this card, you're going back several years. So, hey, I'm a trivia buff. I like to learn as much as I can about any sport or any moment in history. It just seems really out of place here. And I think the biggest drawback to the 82 set is the colors used on the back of the card. You're dealing with gray cardstock. Again, that was Topps' forte all throughout the 1980s again. And sometimes with gray cardstock, the colors that you use for the ink on the back, they just don't mesh real well. It makes it hard to read. And the 82 set was very hard to read because you had a dark green background. The stats and the text were put on a lighter green background. And you had purple text. So you have purple on top of green on top of gray. very hard to read, not very appealing. And also, I have to mention this, if I recall, the 82 set with the purple ink, it kind of smudged a little bit. So if you had just a tiny bit of moisture on your fingertips while you're handling these, you had these little blurry smudges on the back of the card, and it wasn't very appealing at all. So that's a look at the 82 set. It's not very exciting, in my opinion. Some people think it's a great set. Some will say it's the best set of 82. Others are like me, and they're not really crazy about it. So much like 81 tops, 82 tops, you either like it or you don't. There's not really any middle ground when you're looking at the 82 set. Now, one of the positives from the 82 set, tops was the only set to have two Cal Ripken Jr. cards. As I've said before, Cal Ripken Jr. pretty much the only savior of the 1982 baseball sets. I think that's probably the worst year of baseball card sets, you know, when there was more than one. I mean, you can debate that there were some top sets in the 60s or 70s that weren't exciting. But when you had options, 1982 was pretty much a flat year. I was never crazy about it. But Cal Ripken Jr. saved the day. In the regular 1982 top set, Ripken's rookie card was one of the Future Stars cards. And those cards featured pictures of three players for a particular team. Well, Topps picked up pretty quickly that this guy was going to be a superstar. I'm sure they didn't know that he was going to play for nearly 20 years in the game and break Lou Gehrig's record for consecutive games played, but they had a hunch that he was going to be something special. So in their traded set, Cal got his full solo card, and it was also kind of a chance for Topps to reset the Cal Ripken pictures, because Fleer, the Ripken rookie, it was his own card. Donruss, the Ripken rookie, it was his own card. While Topps didn't want to look like they were just sticking Ripken's mug with two mugshots of other guys on the team, so they had to give him his own card in the traded set. So if you're a Cal Ripken fan, if you're a fan of the Orioles, or a fan of collecting rookie baseball cards, you've got quite a few to choose from 1982, including two from the Topps set. Now, as for the subject of our poll today, Roy Smalley, what's interesting about him? Well, there's a lot of interesting things about him. First of all, this is technically Roy Smalley III. That's right. He was the son of Roy Smalley Jr., who had quite the active professional baseball career. If we back up the time clock a little bit, Roy Smalley Jr. played from 1948 to 1958, playing with the Cubs, the Braves, and the Phillies. And he also went on to a managerial career, as he was a manager in the minor leagues, the Reno Silver Sox, in 1961, managing the team to a first-place finish in the California League in his first season. Now, we're talking about Roy Smalley III, however, and what's interesting about Roy Smalley, one of the many interesting things about Roy Smalley, is that this guy was drafted not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but five times. He turned down the first four draft options, drafted in 1970 by the Montreal Expos, drafted twice in 1971. Back then, Major League Baseball had two amateur drafts in the year. So he turned down the Boston Red Sox, turned down the St. Louis Cardinals. In 1972, the Red Sox tried again. He turned them down. But in 1974, he was finally drafted first overall in the January amateur draft by the Texas Rangers. Now, his career in Texas, very short-lived, as he was involved in a blockbuster trade, as the Rangers sent him to the Minnesota Twins with Mike Cubbage, Jim Gideon, Bill Singer, $250,000 in cash. The Rangers, in return, got Danny Thompson and Burt Blyleven, who had a pretty good start to his career in Minnesota. Well, they moved him on to Texas on June 1st, 1976. Now, let's fast forward to 1982, shall we, when this card came out. If you're a Twins fan back then, you're like, hey, here's the longtime utility infielder, shortstop for us, Roy Smalley. Cool. I'm glad I've got this card of one of my favorite team players. Well, he only played four games for the Twins that year, as he played quite literally a week for the Twins before he was traded to the New York Yankees on April 10th, 1982 for Paul Boris, Ron Davis, and Greg Gagne. Now, my hockey mind says, no, it's Gagne, but it is actually pronounced, he prefers Greg Gagne. That's one of the things I remember from the 1991 World Series where the Twins beat the Braves, hearing Gagney, and all I could think of was like Valley Girl talk, Gagney with a spoon. After that, all right, sidebar. After that, Roy Smalley would be involved in another big trade, although at the time you wouldn't know that it was a big trade. July 18th, 1984, the Yankees traded him to the Chicago White Sox for players to be named later. The White Sox would send Kevin Hickey and Doug Drabek to the Yankees. Now, Drabek would have a pretty good career in the major leagues. Not with the White Sox, not with the Yankees. The Yankees would let go of him, too, of course, starring in the Pittsburgh Pirates' glory days in the early 1990s, and then returning back home for the Houston Astros in 1993. Now, as for Roy Smalley, he was traded by the White Sox back to the Twins for minor leaguer Ron Scheer and infielder Randy Johnson. And then Smalley would end his career with a bang, picking up a World Series ring with the Twins in 1987. And a pretty good career for Roy Smalley. I have to say, 13 years, 1,653 games, career batting average of .257. And he was also an All-Star for the Minnesota Twins back in 1979 and was a distant candidate for the MVP award. He was officially the 16th highest player in the American League MVP voting in 1979. So you're wondering, what has happened to Roy Smalley III ever since then? Well, he is now the president, and he is on the board of directors for a nonprofit organization called Pitch In for Baseball. And what they do is collect new or gently used baseball equipment, and they donate it to children around the world. And that is really, really cool. He was also inducted into the College Baseball Hall of Fame just a few years ago, back in 2013, after he played for a couple of teams, Los Angeles City College and then USC, Southern California. So there you go, Roy Smalley, a very interesting career, post-baseball career as well, and an interesting card in the 82 Topps set, number 767. So let me know, what do you think about the 82 Topps set? Do you like it, or could you care less about it? You're going to fall into one of those two. I don't think that there's going to be any middle ground. Put your comments up at Wax and Gum Stains on Twitter. Again, that's Wax and Gum Stains. So with a look at the 82 Topps set, we finish up the 1982 year in baseball cards. Again, in my opinion, probably the worst year for collecting baseball cards in terms of variety. Fleer was bad. Topps wasn't great. Donruss was okay. Although, again, in my opinion, I think they were the best of the three. But that would open the door to 1983, as Topps and Fleer in particular would take a giant leap forward in design and star power with their cards. Donruss would lag behind in 83, and the 1983 Donruss set is our next set we'll look at. We'll do a random player pull, and we'll see what player we can pull from that set, give you the story of his career, and tell you a little more about 83 Donruss. That'll be coming up in our next podcast, which will be, two, 3 days from now. Make sure you just keep following us at Wax and Gum Stains on Twitter to find out when we're posting our next show, and also to offer up any commentary you have. I'm Matt Salmon, your host for Wax Ecstatic. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll take a look at 83 Donruss next time around.